The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Around the country, thousands of households are waking up this morning nervously because the Leaving Cert results are being released this morning, both online and in some schools in person as well. We will be speaking to Minister for Education Norma Foley in just a moment's time. But Jonathan, one of the key issues for this year's cohort of Leaving Cert students is that their grades have been artificially inflated by exam authorities again to bring them into line with the record highs of recent years. This is happening since the pandemic that Leaving Cert results have been elevated. They are on average elevated by in excess of 7%. Okay, so that's what the average Leaving Cert has been dragged up by this year to match previous years as well. And as you rightly pointed out in the last hour, it means that we've gone from having about 5% of kids getting a H1, which is in excess of 90%, to 14% of kids. So it's gone from 1 in 20 to 1 in 4, 1 in 7 rather, getting a H1 in subjects. This is an issue, and this is an issue that didn't have to happen, because first of all, when they did the predicted grades, which most people thought that they had to do in 2020, because we were in the thick of, as you might recall, of the pandemic at the time, the first wave was there, we were in lockdown, there couldn't be a Leaving Cert, so they needed the predicted grades. They allowed those predicted grades to not reflect Leaving Certs of previous years whatsoever, to be elevated up the wazoo. We literally saw grades go through the roof in 2020. They could have been changed because they've managed to put them into algorithms now to adjust them every year. They could have been changed, but they weren't. And now we are still dealing years down the line, 5 years down the line, with those elevated grades. And by the way, the big issue is going to be this. And I'm going to full disclosure tell you, I'm one of these families. Next year's cohort, the 2025 class, that apparently are not going to get the same bounce that the last 5 years have gotten. What are they going to do when people this year, because there will be a glut at the top, because that's what happens with elevated grades, loads and loads of kids getting the top courses, the kids who've worked their butts off getting the top courses on random selection because of this nonsense. Next year's cohort are going to be totally vulnerable to those kids saying, do you know what, I didn't get it this year, I'll hang around till next year because my grades are going to be higher than theirs. And they are.
Yeah, well, we're not trying to take away from anything that anyone has achieved today, but what we are saying is that it is probably not the most accurate reflection of what they have actually achieved, because there is this inflation that's out there. And effectively, what we're trying to do is now unbake a cake that we didn't want to bake in the first case. And when it comes to students going to college, we're going to have kids in the wrong course.
Yes.
We're going to have points that are inflated.
Everyone
we're
is going to be trilled skinny this morning. They're going to be delighted with themselves. Huge grades. Do you know what? It won't be the same story next week when the CAO comes out and the people on the 625 can't get into their courses because half the country's on 625. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is the stupidity of this.
Well, we will have to deal with it, because we won't abandon these young people. And next year, well, God knows what's going to happen. Perhaps the minister will tell us in a minute. But if you have somebody getting the results this morning, we wish them the best of luck, because they're not listening. They're still in bed. Results not out till 10 o'clock. But at the same time, are we doing this particular group of young people a disservice? Let us know what you think. 53106 for a cost of 30 cent. 087 1400 106 for your WhatsApps.
And as we said, we are joined now by Minister for Education, Norma Foley. Good morning to you, Minister. First of all, I presume you would like to give a message to Leaving Cert students around the country, who, them and their families, nervously awaiting results that are due in the next hour or so.
Thanks very much, Ciara. And indeed, yes, I would. I certainly would like to congratulate the Leaving Certificate class of 2024. I think these past few years for them have been challenging and daunting. Almost 80% of them did not sit their junior cycle exam. So really, I think they have very successfully overcome, you know, many challenges that they had to face, and enormous credit is due to them. So I want to congratulate them on successfully completing the Leaving Certificate exam. And I do want to acknowledge and thank also, obviously, the teachers, the SNAs, the school principals and the entire school community who journeyed with them. And I don't forget the parents and guardians either, because, you know, and the siblings, because I always feel when one young person is taking a Leaving Certificate exam, the entire family takes it with them. So today is a great day of celebration for everyone who walked the journey with our class of 2024, but most especially the students themselves, who really did the work, and today they're reaping the benefits.
And they are reaping the benefits. And Minister, with grade inflation, they're reaping the benefits in, I suppose, excess of what next year's students will reap the benefits of, which creates a very unequal playing field if some of the students from this year decide, well, I didn't get what I wanted, but I know I'm going to have a higher and better Leaving Cert than the crowd that come out next year. What is happening with grade inflation? This is a significant worry for families and students.
Well, again, the State Examination Commission have confirmed that there is no grade inflation this year comparative to the previous years. There was a commitment and an acknowledgement and recognition.
But it's equally inflated, isn't that what it is? There's no grade inflation year on year, but it's equally inflated.
Comparative to the previous years, indeed. And that's in recognition. You know, I've already pointed out here that 80% of these students were impacted by COVID. They didn't sit junior cycle exams. And everybody knows that in the previous number of years during COVID, you know, there was the calculated grades, there was the accredited grades, and there was grade inflation. So in the interest of fairness to the students who came after COVID and the experience of calculated grades and accredited grades, I was always very clear that I didn't feel the students who came after that they should be disadvantaged. So the post-marking adjustment was put in place to, if you like, level the playing pitch for the students who were, I'm almost loath to say post-COVID, but I think people understand what I'm saying.
No,
there,
I think that's a fair,
The calculated grades and the accredited grades. I think we have to have a fairness. I mean, what was done during COVID in terms of calculated grades and accredited grades was to ensure that students would have, if you like, that passport that would allow them to continue to, whether that was to take
Can
up
I
place
ask you a very
in college
basic,
or apprenticeship
basic
or whatever.
Question, Minister, though. If you are able to adjust grades, and it would appear to us all that you are, up by 5% or up in this year's case by 7% or whatever it is on pre-pandemic time. So if you're able to adjust the entire cohort up or down, why did you not take the calculated grades in 2020 and adjust them so that they were in line with what was in 2019 and we wouldn't have had this problem at all?
Well, in fairness, the calculated grades and the accredited grades were brand new experience for, you know, for the entire country, for the department, for the State Examinations Commission, who oversee the delivery of these exams.
Sure, but you hear what I'm asking you. If we were able to say back in pre-pandemic times, 5% of kids, you know, got a H1. Now we have 14% of kids getting a H1. Let's adjust that down. Keep it all in line. Why didn't that happen? Because I know you're saying about the fairness and the level playing field. But the reality is the class of 2025 are now going to be the disadvantaged class. And why should it be them?
But indeed, I'm going to say, and I'll speak about the class of 2025 in just 1 minute, but just in terms of the system that was introduced, that was the system during COVID that was conceived of at that time because of the circumstance at the time. I think if we look back now in relation to anything that happened during COVID, you could perhaps say we might have done this or we might have done that. But at the time, that was the system that was introduced, that was the system that was put in place. And we now look back and say, well, in the interest of fairness going forward, how do we manage the system? So
okay.
Whilst we might look back with hindsight and say we could do this, that or something else, you know, during the time you do
I accept we
done.
Can't go back, although I don't think that calculated grades necessarily had to result in this kind of grade inflation. You said you were going to tell us what was going to happen to the class of 2025. Please do.
Well, again, you know, the post-marking adjustment isn't the only adjustment, you know, that was made. There were two aspects, which really, there was adjustments on the paper for the students. So, for example, that they would have greater choice or there might be some instances where a reduction of what is required for a paper might be put in place. So, for example, the one that people are most familiar with, we'll say, would be the Shrapnel Tour, we'll say, in the Oral Irish, where that was previously at 20 pictures, was reduced to 10 pictures. So those accommodations were in place this year and in previous years. Those accommodations will also be in place for the class of 2025. But I did also indicate that there would be no cliff edge in terms of, as you talked about there earlier, the post-marking adjustment in and around the 7% or whatever. But I did say that over time, gradually, we would return to, we say, the pre-COVID experience.
Okay. So over how many years?
Over a number of years, that will be determined by the State Examination Commission. But it will begin next year at a very, very gradual percentage
okay,
of
so
return.
Okay, so that is the key question.
Over a number of years.
If there is going to be a gradual decrease, what is the difference on average between 2024 and 2025's Leaving Cert?
Well, again, that will be ultimately determined by the State Examination Commission. But we have been very clear, I have been very clear, again, in the interest of fairness, it will be a very slow, very small decline over a number of years.
All
because
right.
I think that's fair. If my child were sitting leaving certificate in 2025,
I should be clear, Minister, my child is. So that might be why you're getting grilled on some of this. But so are 60,000 other children, and they yes, are concerned. Can I ask you a few things before I let you go?
If I could just add to that one. If my child were sitting the leaving certificate this year in 2024, I would want my child to have had the same accommodation, if you like, and the similar experience as the previous year in 23 or indeed in 22. So I think we have to place ourselves in the situation of the young person who's taking the exam or indeed the parent or guardian.
Okay.
And I think fairness for them
all
must
right.
be the overall
let me
achievement
get to
of all time.
A couple of things. We had a mum on the show earlier on this morning, Ellen Arthbutt. Her son Charlie is in Lucan. He has no place in secondary school. There are four or five secondary schools in Lucan. She'd take a place anywhere. These schools are now opening and she is still without a place. Doesn't know where her 12-year-old son is going to be going to school or if he can even get into a school this year. She's not the only one around the country. I know parents and campaigners are staging a protest at the Department of Education over school place crisis. That's today on the 23rd of August this morning about special needs places. What do you say to those parents around the country, Minister, who don't have a place for their child and the schools are now opening?
Well, look, first of all, for the lady concerned and her son, I believe with Ellen and Charlie, I do want to acknowledge, you know, stress and the challenge and the difficulty. Absolutely. And I don't underestimate that. But I do want to say, you know, my officials or the education welfare officers, I will ensure that they engage directly with this parent in relation to the provision of a place. But I do want to say in terms of what do we do within the department, I think people want to know that. So we do have a forward planning unit within the department. We have already, where there are areas of high pressure, we have already added hundreds of school places right across the country. We engage with local authorities, you know, so as to know where there are new housing estates coming
sure.
on board or whatever.
But specifically, can you guarantee that every kid will get a school place?
Yes, indeed. I want to be clear, just in terms of, you know, the forward planning that we do. So if a new housing estate is built, we can't prejudge what the makeup of the family will be in that housing estate. So they're not, all these children are not all going to go to primary school. Some will be in primary school, some will be in first year, some will be in fifth year or whatever. There can be situations where a parent is working in a particular area.
Absolutely, but we have, and I know it's very hard, individual cases, but we had little boy, he's 12 years of age, his name is Charlie, he's in Lucan, he doesn't have a school place and all his pals have a school place.
Absolutely, and as I say, I do very much so understand the enormous stress for the parents concerned there. But I can assure you, you know, we have worked through the situations right across the country where there. And again, I want to say to you, we have 1 million children in school, but that does no benefit to the parent in very different places where they might not have a place as it stands presently. So I absolutely appreciate that. We do have isolated cases where that can occur, but I'm very clear in saying that the department, the education welfare officers will engage directly in relation to this case.
Well,
and we have added right across the country where there were areas of pressure, we have added the additional places. And I want to acknowledge that the schools have stepped forward to do that.
Well, we will keep an eye on that and make sure that Charlie does get a place here on News Talk Breakfast. But thank you very much for joining us on that, on what I suppose is a huge day for families around the country, leaving cert results out. That is Minister for Education, Norma Foley.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.